We're going to start out by putting your hand right hand over your heart, your left hand over that. And we're going to close our eyes. And we're going to start off by taking a deep breath into our heart. And releasing. Another deep breath into our heart. And releasing. Another deep breath into our heart. And releasing. Now I want you to start off by thinking of someone special, something special like a doggy or kitty, your best friend, your soulmate, your munchkins, someone you love. Feel that love. Releasing it into a flow by letting thoughts come and go. My spirit is awakening. I feel my love expanding throughout the whole universe, connecting me with the stars and the galaxies. I've got stardust in my soul. The same divine love that created this whole universe is flowing within me. I'm being held in the arms of God. I am safe. I've been truly, truly blessed by all the gifts I've been given. And I'm truly blessed by all the gifts that are already on their way. Thank you, God. I love you. Let's take a deep breath into the heart and releasing. Another deep breath into the heart and releasing. Another deep breath into the heart. And releasing. Another deep breath into the heart. And releasing. You might wiggle your toes a little bit. And very slowly open your eyes. Thank you so much. Amazing music. Very appropriate for the times we're in right now. Very appropriate. I started coming here about 8 years ago. I came here a couple times with the Reverend Laura. And then I was supposed to come, and then they told me that Reverend Laura was leaving, and they were interviewing candidates. And I said, really? Well, I know Scotty and Donna was working here at that time really well. And I said, oh, good, keep me informed, because this is one of my favorite churches. And they tell me, we found the right person. I said, as soon as she walked in the door, he knew it was her. She had everything on her list. And I said, wow. And they told me, I think they said she was a beginning minister. I said, really interesting. So she was just really amazing the way she is. She said, yeah, she's the perfect person for our community. So when I got a chance to finally meet her at one of the Unity conventions, first thing I noticed when she walked in the room, the whole room lit up. And seriously, she has a warm glow. I mean, you can feel it. And she comes in a package. You get Reverend Richard over here, too. He makes music in our soul. So today we're going to talk about miracles. And scientists hate the idea of miracles. That's because when a miracle happens, it violates a law of nature. However, miracles happen in quantum physics all the time. Let me give you some examples. We know an object can't be in two different places at the same time, right? Wrong. When an electron's circling an atom and nobody's watching it, it magically turns into energy waves. So it's everywhere at the same time, not just two places, everywhere. Einstein's law of relativity, that's a big one. Well, they have one fundamental law in the Einstein's law of relativity, which is nothing can go faster than the speed of light. One of the universal rules, so to speak. 1931, two very famous physicists by the name of Schrodinger and Heisenberg proposed a theory called quantum entanglement. A quantum entanglement is if you have a couple electrons circling an atom, if you separate them, they are forever quantumly entangled, which means even if you were to separate them by a trillion miles, if you were to push on one of them, the other one instantaneously go in the exact same direction. So instantaneously that if they were to communicate, it would be faster than the speed of light. Einstein hated this theory. At one point, he called it spooky action at a distance. And in 1981, Einstein was proven wrong. Then they redid the experiment a couple years ago in the new cyclotron in Switzerland. And they found that not only did the two electrons communicate faster than the speed of light, it was 10,000 times faster. If you're going to break a law of nature, you might as well go all the way. Now, the spookiest thing in physics, however, is the advent of the idea that consciousness itself is indeed the quantum field. Now, what is consciousness and how does that work there? Well, one of the best ways to kind of visually show you is referencing back to what the bleep. because many of you have seen it. They had this little scene, and don't worry, this is very complex stuff. This is actually very weird. And if you find it difficult to follow, don't feel bad about it. So what they were doing, they were sending this electron through a slit, and it was lining up on the back wall. But there was an eye watching it in the movie. The eye represented consciousness. And the eye was important. The most important part of it was the eye. And as long as the eye was there, the electrons stayed little balls. As soon as the eye went away, instead of one line on the back wall, you had 16 lines on the back wall. And the truth of the matter is, the electrons were no longer in time and space. So what it meant is they were going through the slit and coming back at the same time because they're everywhere at once. So that's, and how that works is this. Let me try to give you an example. Let's say you take a couple of pebbles and drop them into a pond. They produce waves, okay? And these waves hit each other, and they produce new waves. And then they hit each other, and they produce new waves. Pretty soon you got 16 waves. It's exactly what happened. In other words, matter and energy are the same. One's concentrated and one isn't. And it takes consciousness to collapse the energy waves into particles, okay? So what do we mean by this? Well, without particles, you can't have stars, you can't have galaxies, and you can't have people. In other words, if there were no consciousness, there would be no universe. It would all be energy waves collapsing and interfering with each other, which means nothing. Okay? It means there's nothing there. So don't worry about getting confused, because the bottom line is this. I think, personally, physics discovered God. Who is the consciousness that's collapsing energy waves and creating something out of nothing? It has to be something. A couple of physicists from India have suggested maybe the whole universe is consciousness of itself, and that's what's collapsing the energy waves. Either way, it's all good. Now, here's the interesting thing. We have consciousness. The next question is our consciousness part of that same quantum force that created this whole universe? Well, over 1,000 studies have proven, and there's a lot more than that, that our consciousness can indeed create miracles. Now, I like to categorize them into 4 different groups to make things simple. The first group is, of course, the prayer research, which Unity Church has been an active participant in. And one of the reasons I love Unity Church so much is because they believed in their message so much so that they subjected it to scientific scrutiny and participated in many. I think the best I know right now is around 6 studies. And including my favorite one, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. The next group is the research on meditation, very similar in some ways to the prayer research, in that we were doing stuff inside to change the outside world. And in this group, we found that people meditating using transcendental meditation were able to change the crime rates, auto accidents, and even suicide rates, which is unbelievable stuff. Third group of research shows that we can know things before they happen, which is beyond time and space, which is exactly quantum stuff. And the fourth group is a group from Princeton that shows that people consciousness can actually influence machines. So we'll start with the prayer research. The first studies that were done, they'd pray for one ward of the hospital. They wouldn't pray for the surrounding wards. And the ward they prayed for would get well faster, have less need for antibiotics, better quality of life, in some cases less deaths than the surrounding wards. Now, they probably did 10 or 15 of these studies, and most scientists poo-pooed the early research. They said that what was going on was the people doing the praying happened to pick the ward of the hospital that had the best doctors and the best nurses. And the people doing the praying had an uncanny knack for figuring out which of those wards had the best doctor. They're really good at it. And then in 1988, the first double-blind study was done. And that double-blind is the Cadillac version of research. You take one group, you pray for one group, you randomly assign them through the hospital, and the other group you don't pray for, they don't know which group they're in, and bingo. They did a bunch of these, about 250 of the double blinds, and they all had the same results as the other prayer research. So this started blowing people's minds, especially scientists, because they don't like this kind of stuff. So they said, okay, what's really going on with prayer is positive thinking. Now, here's the question. Is prayer just positive thinking, or is it something else? Interesting question, right? Well, there was an interesting study done in 1999 by Unity Church. It was done in Kansas City, which is the home of Unity, and it was done at a hospital there. They took everybody that entered a hospital for a 6-month period. And they prayed for one group and didn't pray for the other group, except they had an interesting twist. It was a triple blind study, which means they didn't tell the people they were being prayed for. So let me give you an example. Let's say I'm sick, Reverend Paul is praying for me, and I get well faster because she's praying for me. But she doesn't tell me. If she doesn't tell me, then it can't be due to positive thinking because I didn't know. Does that make sense? Okay, yeah, so the whole study was done like that, 1,200 people. And again, the same results as the other prayer research, which blew a lot of people's minds because it means that prayer is something different than positive thinking. It means it's one of those woo-woo things, spooky action at a distance. So they decided to do another triple-blind study in Columbia, New York. This one had some interesting twists. First of all, it was people praying in America for people in Korea. So somehow the prayers had to go through molten rock and whatever else is in the middle of the world and arrive at the right person in Korea. And then it was a women's in vitro fertilization clinic, women trying to get pregnant. And again, the women didn't know if they were even in the study. And if they were being prayed for, they had a 50% greater chance of getting pregnant than the women who weren't being prayed for. Mind-boggling. Brings up a whole new dimension to the idea of immaculate conception, but we won't touch that one here. So here's the mind-boggling thing about the prayer research. There is no electromagnetic field emanating from our brain that can account for this. It's very weak. In fact, it's a wimp. The brain is, the electromagnetic field is very, very, just barely gets past the skull bones. So there is no energy that can account for this. There is no reason why even one of those studies came out significant, much less 250. It's amazing. One of those, again, it's one of those spooky action at a distance, one of those quantum kind of things. The second group of research is the research on meditation. Now, those of you who saw the movie know that we took 4,000 meditators into Washington, D.C. and actually changed the crime rates while we were there. Now, we didn't look at other things. We basically just looked at crime rates because it was easy to collect. But many of the other studies, we looked at suicides and auto accidents as well. Now, before we did this, I started doing this stuff way back in the 1980s. We got 3 studies done, all of them published in mainstream journals, which was even more amazing, showing that groups of people meditating can change the outside world in a better way. We're not powerless. And so when we decided to do it in Washington, D.C., it was a demonstration project because we wanted to prove to the world that we could do it. And we told the mayor beforehand, not afterwards, beforehand. We told the police chief so we could collect the data on the crimes. And we told all the newspaper people. And if it didn't work, they would have poo-pooed all of our other research. But every one of these studies, 20 studies we did before we got there, all came out significant. So we figured if we got enough people there, it would work. And it did. Crime rates went down by 23%. Now, here's the interesting part about it. Many people have said it was an intention. In fact, Lynn McTaggart, you mentioned her. She says it was an intention experiment. I had to, when I signed one of her books, she was at the Unity Convention. I had to explain to her, we never did intention at all. What we did, and this is the interesting thing, most people assume that we used intention, because how can you change crime rates without having an intention? That doesn't make any sense, right? Sounds like that quantum stuff that doesn't make any sense, doesn't it? Well, because here's the deal. What we did was, we didn't have any intentions at all. We simply got out of the way. We let go. We got into the divine. We added our power to the divine. And by getting out of the way, the divine flows through us and does the little miracle stuff. So when you want something, you're attracting lack. You don't have it, right? So instead, we shifted that around. We got out of the way and let the divine flow through us. A whole different direction. Now, I've been doing these seminars in Unity churches for 18 years. And finally I came across a quote from Charles Fillmore. And in his quote, he says it all. Surrender the results. Surrender the results. Surrender, because we're co-creators. God already knows what you want. You don't need to think about it. Okay, when we think about it, it actually activates the left hemisphere, which gets us out of the state. So we surrender the results. We don't have to worry about all that stuff. So, third group of research studies proves that we are indeed quantum field people because It was an experiment done, kind of a psychic experiment. They had a bunch of TVs, and people were in front of the TVs, and every 8 seconds a new photograph would come on the screen. And the photograph was either one of two different types, a positive one, Virginia Beach scenes like that, or negative one, people in morgues. Very, very gruesome, by the way. And unfortunately, the experiment didn't work. They couldn't figure out in advance what was going to come up on the screen. But lucky for us, it was not the end of the story. Because what happened was, because the negative photo was so gruesome, they hooked people up to GSR machines to kind of investigate anxiety in the body. GSR is similar to a lie detector. And what they anticipated, there'd be a spike of anxiety every time the negative photo was presented, right afterwards or, you know, immediately afterwards. Well, they did indeed find the spike of anxiety. But they found it before the negative photo was presented on the screen, and not before the positive one. So in other words, our body knew it was going to happen before it happened. This is mind-boggling. And remember the old adage, I knew it in my gut? There's a lot of truth to that. Well, they redid the experiment because nobody believed the results. And different laboratory, in fact, in Europe, they went to get away from that laboratory as far as they could. And same results. Then they looked inside the MRI. The whole brain would light up with anxiety about 4 seconds before the negative photo. Now, that series of studies stayed dormant until about 2 years, right after I came here a couple years ago. I did a healing thing. I think we did a healing talk last time. And they redid the study. A very famous psychologist by the name of Dr. Ben, he's in all the psychology textbooks. I've taught a lot of psychology classes, and he's in every textbook. And he decided to do the experiment 10 times. 9 of them came out significant. He submitted to Journal of Social Psychology, a very conservative journal. They decided to accept it, but they said, we don't believe it. This is true. How can we know things before they happen? This doesn't make any sense. He must have made a mistake. We're asking you, the psychological community, to help us figure out what he did wrong. Right now, psychology is in a turmoil because personally, I think it's a good thing because they're entering the quantum age where time and space have no meaning, okay? Now, the last group of research studies is even more far out. This is the one from Princeton where they have physicists and engineers and scientists from Princeton decided to create a quantum field machine. With the idea being, if that our consciousness is quantum field, maybe it'll interact with the machine, proving that our consciousness is indeed a quantum field. So that's what they did. They built a machine from cosmic radiation from outer space, and the cosmic radiation is quantum field based. And it's very consistent. In fact, you can run atomic clocks by it. They do. And so they built a machine that basically has an output of 101010. Kind of like a random number generator, but it's not really random. And then What they did was they took college freshmen, had them concentrate on the machines to see if they could change the output from 1010 to 111 or 000. And after hundreds of thousands of trials, they found an effect, but a very weak effect. Personally, I don't know how they managed it, because when I was a kid and freshman, I could barely get out of bed, much less influence a quantum field random number generator. So they were able to get these kids to do it. Now, then they had a brilliant idea. Let's put 4 or 5 of them together and see if we can influence it more effectively, with greater power. And that's what they found. The more people doing it, the greater the effect. So what they did is they put these machines out in the world, and they wanted to measure the collective consciousness. So whenever we're doing the same thing at the same time, like watching the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, billions of people watch those ceremonies. And the machines go crazy. They start doing, so instead of 1010, they do 111 or 00. We don't know which direction the machines are going to go in. They just kind of make their mind up and do one or the other. And there's like 250 of these episodes on their website. Remember Katrina, the hurricane, the tsunami, the OJ trial verdict. Well, the machines were going on during 9/11. Two amazing things happened during 9/11. First of all, the machines went crazy for 4 straight days. Okay? That's the longest they've ever gone crazy. But here's the kicker. The machines started going crazy 4 hours before 9/11 actually happened. That's before the terrorists got in the airplanes. What that implies is we must have known what's going to happen as a collective before it happens. This is mind-boggling. So we're probably wondering, what am I doing talking about all this research stuff? What is the purpose of it? And there's another study. You thought to get rid of me that research stuff. One more study, that's it. This one's kind of really, really cool. This is kind of a one that is a mind-boggling one, too. It's the Blessed Tea Study, done by Dean Reid, one of my favorite researchers. Now, this one, what he did is he took a bunch of tea and had it blessed by expert Zen monk meditators. Half the tea was blessed, half the tea wasn't blessed. And what they did is they took a big, huge group of people, split them in half. Half were given the blessed tea and half weren't given the blessed tea. But before they split them in half randomly, they gave them the mood scales. Then they gave them mood scales after they got the blessed tea. What they wanted to find out was if the person got the blessed tea, the mood would go up. And here's the interesting thing. They asked one question before they did the study. Do you believe it will work? The ones that believed it would work and they got the blessed tea, remember, they didn't know they were getting the blessed tea, they went about 8 times better on the mood scale. The ones that got the blessed tea and they didn't believe it would work barely went up at all. This is huge. It means belief can accelerate our own development tremendously. Belief. And that's not the same as intentions, by the way. Belief is not the same as intentions. Because you can believe it'll work and surrender. In fact, you can surrender even better when you believe it's going to work. So what I did by explaining all this stuff was to give you some hope in this time of turmoil. And the music was perfect. You couldn't have gotten a better series of music if he tried. He probably did try. But maybe he didn't try. I don't know. You never know with this cosmic music stuff. But we need hope. And as a result of this research, we can draw 3 huge conclusions. The first conclusion is life after death. If our consciousness is quantum field-based, that means when the brain dies, the consciousness doesn't have to die. There's a part of us lives forever. This is huge. It's one of the age-old quests of humankind. Second major conclusion, and this is the biggie, we're not powerless. Together, we can make a bigger difference than we can alone. When we come together in this amazing church and meditate together, we're not only helping ourselves, we're helping out the world. We're not powerless. Just the other day, about 2 months ago, seemed like the other day, when you travel a lot. All right, so I saw a study done on gay marriage. 65% of people in America are now for it. Just two and a half years ago, 65% were against it, and all the presidents were against it. There's been a shift in the collective consciousness. We're moving in the direction of greater compassion and greater love. It's changing everything around us. Even the warfare we do, we're always worried about civilian casualties now. It's a big deal. 20 years ago, we didn't care about stuff like that. So it's a huge shift. I can name you 100 different things, 1,000 different things of how we're shifting. It's a great time we're living in. First thing is, turn off the television. James Comey said most of it was not true anyway. All you're doing is getting upset over stuff that's not true. So don't waste your time. Watch the Nature Geographic channel or the Home Depot. My brother was watching the Home Fix. I was really enthralled. Everybody gets real excited when they get a new house. I love it. So you see all this positive energy. It inspires you. Or come to this church. And most important thing, come here and meditate whenever you can. In a group, it seems to work better than it does individually. But we are making a difference. And lastly, but not least, all of us have doubts at one time or another. It is so refreshing to be living in a time when science is proving spirituality and washing away those doubts. Because this is the most exciting time I've ever been around. And I thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.